Hey, Michael.
Hey, Ray. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Well, I'm sure I know you're okay. You have all discovered because I know we discussed a lot of these things way before. I had an email from some travel somebody about your project. So you know exactly why all these roof things are here. So
What was that?
not talking to you, sir. I was talking. But you did send me an email and I responded to you, right? Air travel.
I had a few more questions, but I went down to the city and Gabriel, I think behind the counter, kind of helped me and a few other people down there.
Okay.
Michael, you've already started recording?
Yes, everything is being recorded.
Okay. All right. For all of our guests here, we're just waiting for enough board members to join so we can have a
Yeah,
quorum.
let me figure out what is going on here. I have Jigger.
See Rachel, I see Lou. Not me. So you got the long rim baseball cap, Rachel, so we can't see your eyes. Okay.
Yep.
Well, I think
Don't want to see those today. No, I my hair is really special today, so we're gonna hide
it. Yeah.
it.
Okay.
We're
Got it.
gonna hide it. We already know you anyway.
Okay. That's good.
So let me see. On the board, I have Rick, I have Rachel, I have Louise, I have.
Yeah, we have a quorum now, but I'm.
Let me see. Followed by I have David here. Is Craig here? I don't see Fred. I don't see Jim. One, two, three, four. Yeah, you do have a quorum, so I'm missing two.
Greg and Jim may very well. Well, Jim may join right this
Oh,
very
Jim.
minute.
Jim is right here.
Right. All right, we'll let him get connected. And then we'll go ahead and call it to order as soon as. Hey, Jim, are you.
So we're just missing one person.
You have to ask a question? I'm sorry.
I said, you have a problem, Mr. Chair. It's only you lacking one person, but it should be fine. Sean is here. So for the applicants who are here, when I call your name, can you tell me which address you are here for, please? Benjamin.
907 North Fifth Avenue.
Which one is that?
907 North Fifth Avenue.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, I met with you. Yeah. Okay. Bob Landing is for 921. Lindsay is for 9:41. Tiffany, please.
That's correct. 941 North 6th Avenue.
Tiffany, 9:41. Okay.
No,
Chandler is for.
Tiffany is on fifth, right?
Yeah,
Tiffany
Tiffany's a
Russell, I'm
clown.
with Ben Seward for 907 Fifth.
Travers is for 720. 720 North 6. Sean, you are for which one?
Oh, I'm just here for information.
Oh, you're just a member of the public?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I'm also here for 202 East University too.
I know that.
Okay.
You are here for the 2720 North 6 and 202 East University.
720 North 6th Avenue and 202 East University, yeah.
Okay.
All right. We good, Michael?
Yeah, so I think everybody is identified, Mr. Chair. You may proceed to start the meeting.
All right, welcome everybody to the West University Historic Zone Advisory Board for March 11th, 2025. It is
6:04.
6:04 p.m. Do a quick roll call. And Jim Glock.
Present.
Present. Rachel Sarah.
Here.
Louis Bettnagel,
Here.
Greg Stoner,
Present.
and Damon Turner,
Damon's here.
and Rick McDonald, myself, present. We have a quorum. In fact, we have a full house.
Two,
Awesome.
three, four, five. You have five, Mr. Chair. Oh, Greg
I
is
have
here.
six.
Okay,
There's
yeah, you have
me.
a full house. Yeah.
Right. All right, I hope everybody on the board had a chance to look at the LAR from last month. Do I have a motion to approve and a second?
This is
A
Damon.
move of approval. This is Jim Glock.
A second.
Okay. All right, one second, Jim. And any all in favor, aye.
I.
Aye.
Greg, I. All right. The LAR is approved, 6-0. Michael, did we have any call to the audience?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay, no call to the audience. All right, that quickly brings us to the meat of the meeting. Item four on the agenda, and we're going to start. Item 4A is actually two different properties. So we're going to go ahead first with SD 0125-000-11 941 North 6th Avenue. And I believe
Lindsay.
that is Lindsay. Are you
Yes.
briefing for that? Okay. Over to you.
Mr. Chair, before I make Lindsay the let me just give members of the board exactly what happened here. As you will see, all these items here on the 4A are typically minor reviews. So on 9:41, I was out there with the chair to review 9:41 North 6th Avenue for a roof replacement. The material that was being proposed to be used, the chair did not feel comfortable approving that material and felt that the whole board needed to take a look at it. The advice to the applicant on the field was to come to the board with number one, what was being proposed, and number two, with alternatives, which I think that's what they are here to show you today. Now, secondly, the 720 North 6, which you'll see they have two projects. For some reason, they have two permitting addresses. two numbers and also 202 East University. This happens to be one parcel with different addresses. Typically, roofs are usually minor review, but based on the scope of work that was presented as I saw it, it looks a little bit much more than just replacing shingles for shingles. Looks like more is going to be done. And I felt that it would just be a good thing, since we're already doing a roof today, to just put this so that let me get a feedback from all of the board today. Based on your review today, we would know whether to take this to PROS or it can just be considered a straightforward minor review. That is why we are here today. That's why I brought all of this here in consultation with the chair. I just want to bring this to the attention of the board. Unless, Mr. Chair, unless you have something else to add to it, if not, I'm going to make... Lindsay, are you the one going to present for this?
Yes.
He's presenting for 941, yes.
Okay. I am making you the co-host, so you should be able to share your screen.
I'm really sorry. This is the first time. Am I sharing it? Do you guys see it?
Yes. Yes, you are.
Okay. So do you want me to present the first material, the Decora?
So I think the best thing to do is I want you to, first of all, probably show what is existing on the roof, discuss the material that is existing on the roof right now, and then you discuss the material that you presented to myself and the chair as being your option A to replace wood. And then secondly, you show the board what alternative you have.
Okay. So our original packet. Oh my goodness, this is this one. Let me just pull all of them up so I don't have to go back. Okay, so this is the, let me get to, this is the original roof. Or this is the current roof.
Lindsay, I'm going to tell you right now, you're displaying your file list, not specific pictures or anything.
So what you should do, so when you chose to share your screen, you probably picked a specific application instead of just sharing your whole screen. So you need to stop sharing and then share again and either pick the application you want to share or share the whole screen.
How about now?
Yep.
Yep. There you go. Perfect.
Okay. So this is the current roofing system. It's a discontinued asbestos tile. Underneath the tile was originally a wood shake, and they went over the wood shake with this asbestos tile. So along with the roof replacement, there will be an abatement team that will take off the roof, take off the wood shake, then we will do a redeck. We're not changing anything structurally, but we will lay sheathing or plywood, if you will, over the space decking and then install the material. So this is the current roof, and the first choice, which is what's at question right now, is this Decora metal tile, which looks like this. And I guess the gentleman that was out on the day, because I apologize, I was not out there, stated they wanted something that was a little more close to the wood shake. Do you want me to move forward to the other two options that we're proposing, or do you want me to go through
these packages? Do you mind doing me a quick favor? I was the gentleman that was out there. And just, can you have a quick picture you can show of the street view of the house?
Of course. Do you want me to scroll through?
Because
I have a side view that might be a little better.
Side view might be better, yeah. I agree, yeah. I just want the board to get it. That's fine, right there. So you're showing us a picture of taken kind of from the southeast side of the house. The house faces 6th Street, and this picture is taken a little bit to the south. And I just wanted the board to get an idea of what the house looked like originally with the asphalt shingles. They're kind of a strange shaped asphalt, but they're shingles.
Well, this currently that you're looking at is not an asphalt.
No. I'm saying that they're a strange shape. They're asbestos. Sorry.
Correct. Yeah, and they are a strange shape. They're kind of like a diamond type.
Right. We have a few homes in the neighborhood that are like this. So for the board, since I'm the one that kicked this to the full board, I was not comfortable with replacing the roof that you see here with one that is mimicking a clay tile roof. I think I'm happy if the owner or if the applicant wants to bring it forward and discuss it, we can do that. I think it's probably efficient, Lindsay, if you don't mind, now that we kind of see that, maybe look at the other two options that I know you have.
Yep.
And we can come back and have a discussion.
Of course. And the homeowner is good with anything that you guys decide. He just wants to move forward. So he would rather not, you know, drag it on to be dead set on this one, just so y'all know. Let me make sure this is the... So that's his third option. This would be his second choice. It's also a Decra. So it is a metal roofing system, but it would look like this. So it would mimic more of the wood shake look. I've got another picture here. This would be the color and style.
Do you have a close-up of an individual, like, shingle? Do you just get a sense of the dimensions of it? Maybe not.
Let me keep scrolling through.
Yeah, that's good. So that's metal.
Correct.
Okay.
Would you like me to move on to the third?
Yeah, let's look at the third.
Okay. This is the asphalt shingle. So it will come, let me see. Yeah. So this is the larger, and I think I might have.
Yeah, that's good.
Let me go back to it for you.
Can we see the first option again? Or the first choice.
Faster. The reason why he went with this one is because he was trying to semi-mimic what's on there now. And it was a little difficult.
And he wants that red color, or that was just what?
He really likes the red color, but okay. Again, you know, if it is that the city wants to go towards the wood shake look, he's fine with the other two options. But yes, he liked the red.
And do we have an up close detail of this shingle as well?
I believe so.
No, I looked at one and it's designed to kind of mimic a clay tile.
It is in a square. I'm sorry. I thought I did have a close-up one. But I mean, each piece here is a separate piece.
Yeah, like a clay tile.
Correct.
And it has that dimensionality of a clay tile. You can kind of see the waviness of it there.
I mean, I think that would look sort of weird on that style of house.
That's kind of why I wanted to not approve it without looking at it.
I think a metal roof would be better, but I do actually like the asphalt shingle because it does have the most, it resembles the shake the most, which obviously we don't want a wood shake because those don't last here. But honestly, I feel like I would be okay with honestly any option but this one because it does feel so different than what was originally there.
You want me to go back to the other two?
If anyone else needs to see them, I'm...
Yeah, I guess, I mean, we've kind of... To the rest of the board, I mean, thoughts...
Richard, are you suggesting that you are either... You'll be okay with either option two or option three?
Correct.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's what she's saying.
If he got the option, he wanted to go with this one, the metal Decra, but he would be happy with either one.
I mean, a metal roof is going to last longer period. So from an architecture standpoint, that's what I would go with if it was my client. But I like the look of the asphalt shingle one best because I think it looks most like the wood shake. But I think that either one of these options would be an option.
Okay. Any other, Greg, Damon, Jim, anybody else?
Yeah, sorry. This is Damon. I was going to make a couple comments. I was just looking at our design guides. I don't think this has come up before, but I think on an as-approved basis, we do allow metal tiles. I tend to agree that the ones that simulate clay tiles don't really go with the architecture of the house. But the ones that simulate wood shakes seem as appropriate to me as asphalt, meaning the reason we allow asphalt is because it kind of tries to simulate the look of wooden shingles. And so I think, you know, we're accepting something that approximates that look, and the metal ones seem acceptable to me. And per our guidelines, I think it says metal shingles for structures on the street front will be considered. So it seems reasonable to me.
And I agree with Damon on that.
Are you okay with all three options then? Or are you saying...
No, I mean, the ones that simulate clay tiles seem like the wrong simulation from my perspective. Okay. But
Are you rounding for option three?
I think he's saying two or three also.
Oh, okay.
Correct?
Yeah, I'm saying that the ones that simulate clay tiles seem inappropriate architecturally for this building.
Okay. So option one is inappropriate. Suggested on the field. So we are navigating around option two or option three.
Correct.
Greg, were you confirming the same thing?
Yeah, I probably lean towards the metal as well, just for durability.
Okay. Jim. What says you, Jim? Is Jim?
I'm open to either option. I think I'm leaning towards the asphalt shingle just because that's what most people are using for replacement of roofs like this. This might be one of our first metal tile applications in the neighborhood. So I'm actually kind of excited. They do look appropriate for our condition. But I can't believe that the asphalt's more economical. But then again, I'll kind of defer to our architects on the board with respect to longevity and stuff, because from an aesthetic perspective, they look the same to me. So I'm good either way.
I think the metal, if I remember correctly, the metal shingle or the metal tile, it's the same basic thing, and I'm pretty sure their longevity is greater than that of asphalt.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
40 to 70 years on a tile or on metal tile, and I believe it's 30 to 40 on a asphalt.
I think the manufacturer offers the 30, and that's probably pretty accurate for the asphalt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So based on what I am hearing here, the board is opting, it can either be option 2 or option 3.
Yes.
Okay.
So do we need a vote on this, or what do we, because this is...
Yeah, the board is, yeah, we would need a motion from you, because if you see on the agenda, you need to take action.
And but we can say that it doesn't need to go to PRS, it could just be a minor review.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way, I'll just need Lindsay to send me more detailed information on the two options, so that when the director will normally approve for the two options, but I'm going to need more information on the two options so that we'll be able to describe it to fit what it is. So, but we'll need a motion, please.
Okay, this is Rachel Sarah. I motion to approve either option 2 or 3 of the roof choices. I'm sorry, I don't remember what the address was.
That's okay.
We got that. I got it.
Okay, so do I need to say it again?
No, we got it. So
I got it.
And we're okay with this proceeding as a minor review.
Thank you.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second. This is Lou. I second the motion.
Thank you, Lou. Hold on. Remember, I got to keep up with the writing here. All right, we have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Okay, wait a minute. Greg, did you say aye?
Yes.
And Jim?
Jim Glock, aye.
Okay. All right, just want to make sure I got everybody. Okay, motion carries 6-0. So, Lindsay, what that means, if Michael, if we agree that it does not need to go to PRS, then that's the end of that. It's not going to go to PRS, correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. Okay. I would just generate an approval letter, and then the director will sign, and then we'll send it to you, Lindsay.
Okay, Lindsay, so what that means is that you and your client can pick either 2 or 3.
Okay. And then once we get the letter, that is, we're good to go to get started? Okay.
No, once you get the letter, you still have to submit to the building code to the original, because now we're dealing with an SD number. So once you get the letter, you then submit under the TC-RES number, and then they will...
See, Lindsay, you may not have done the permit application, but this step, once you get the letter, that where you are right now in the permit process is that the city is now waiting on that approval letter. Once you get it, you go back into the same system that the permit was opened on, and... put in the permit or put in the decision letter, and then you should be good to go shortly after that.
Okay.
So you need to provide to me, I did look at this closely, maybe the information is there. I'll need to know the name of the, I'll need to, from the brochure, I need to know the manufacturer of the shingles you are going to use. So we're going to call that out in the approval letter. Once you get it, you upload it under TC-RES-1024-06237. That is a building code number. Just for other applicants, just remember the historic review is part of the permitting process. So once you finish with historic review, then you go back to permitting. So you will do that once you get the approval letter.
Okay.
And if you in any problem, please feel free. I'm your contact person. Feel free to reach out to me.
So what you want to do is send to Michael tomorrow morning or tonight the specification that the nomenclature for tiles or options 2 and 3, with the brand and model and all that stuff. Even though you might might think your client wants to do, say, option two, just send them both in. So the letter gives you the freedom to do whatever you want. But just get that data, because Michael needs to put that in the letter that he puts forward to the director. Okay?
Okay, will do.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, now, so we're going to move on now to the roof for the Rincon Apartments. There's two addresses. There's two addresses. One of the buildings at 720 is contributing and one is not. So there's different numbers associated with all that stuff. But the scope of work is essentially the same, and I believe who's speaking to that tonight? Is that going to be you, Travis?
Yeah, that was me. And I'm sorry about the doubling up on the 720. I had to do one permit like many years ago, and this is my first go around again. I accidentally hit a residential alteration, so I canceled that one, and it's still like getting canceled, but that's why there's two of them. But the more filled out one is for the commercial permit, and that's why there's two 720 addresses.
That's so in the interest of surprise. I was wondering why you had two permits on the same address. But
I accidentally hit residential for one, and I called the city to see if I could switch it to commercial. They said no, so I went through the sub records to cancel it and restarted with the commercial permit.
I've been trying to get a commercial development plan pulled for over 3 months so that I can move forward with my residential plan. So I feel your pain. So many emails, and they're just like, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, please.
So yeah, lots of phone calls, lots of going down to the city. It's a great time.
Yep, it's real fun.
So basically, Trevor, what you're saying to me is that these two ladies, it's one permit that you wanted to do. One is commercial, one is residential. Which is the one that you really want to do?
It's all commercial.
It's all commercial. It's all commercial. I switched them over to commercial. There's both on the docket, but for the sub review of it's 0026, which is 202, and then 00028, which is the 720 North 6, the non-compliant building.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
And the one in between was one I accidentally did for the 0027 was the residential accidentally.
Yeah, it should actually be commercial because it's an apartment. So,
yeah.
Okay, we'll deal with that.
Thank you.
So why don't you walk us through?
Because I saw what you submitted, it was one and the same thing. So basically, I'll figure that out. We'll probably do one approval letter for both of them.
Awesome. Thank you. I mean, the building, the 202 one is the 1908 compliant building. It's directly on the corner of 6th Avenue and University. That one has asbestos slate tiles. So I have a asbestos certified removal company, but it's the thin normal square tiles that many houses in the neighborhood have. And we were going to switch them out to either the GAF Grand Sequoia, which was actually, I thought, I'm really sorry, I've never done this before, and I don't know how to screen share or anything, but I submitted it all in the historical review packet with the sub record in the permit, but there's no decking under it because it's the original wood shake with a layer of asphalt shingles with the
concrete. Hey, Travis, let me just kind of pause you there because I understand that you've never done this before. Michael, do you mind calling up the narrative associated with the 202.
Yeah, okay,
Rick, I can do that pretty quick.
Okay, one of you.
If I can share a screen.
From what I recall, everything Travis is about to say is in the narrative, and the rest of the material in there is options of different kinds of shingles, which.
Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah,
I think I can do this.
And Travis, I'm asking you to do that because it's helpful for the board to be approving something in writing as opposed to you kind of telling us a story.
Yeah, I'm really sorry.
That's okay.
No, no, no. Don't worry.
Honestly, I'm really not technically inclined at all. I do all the maintenance on this old building, so when it comes to all that stuff, I'm great. But yeah, so I'm really sorry. And then it's on my wrong computer, so I can't even upload it, and I don't know how to put the file onto my wife's
laptop. That's okay. Okay, we're going to help you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Yeah. So if you go all the way, scroll up to the narrative, make sure we're talking about the right one, Jim. This looks like...
This is actually the 720. This is the
looks like the 720.
And that is directly south of the 202 on 6th
Avenue. Right. Stand by. I can go to anyone you want. So.
Yeah, why don't you do me a favor and go to 202?
Okay, stand by. All right.
Just trying to help us all kind of move through this.
Is that what people are seeing now, 202?
I'm guessing it is.
I'll scroll down.
There's that's 202. That's 202, yes.
Okay, so where do you want me?
Go back up to the narrative.
Okay.
So, Travis, what I want you to do, you were starting to say this, but I'm, again, in the interest, this is a public meeting, public record. I needed this recorded. This is what you're speaking to, right? And
yeah.
So if we can just walk through this, and then you've got a bunch of the rest of the document, other than having the views, the plan views of the roof, just show a whole bunch of shingle options. But this is where you talk about what you're going to have to do. So if we could just kind of talk about what the work is that you are going to have to do on this one particular building, because I think the two are a little different.
Yeah. This one's 1908. There is no decking under it. It is just 32-inch on-center 2x6 rafters with space decking where they hand-nailed the wood shake to. The wood shake is still the original layer, followed by a layer of red asphalt shingles, which was which on top of that was laid the concrete asbestos tiles, which are up there right now. And so we were going to – I went through the planning department, and they made me get an engineer out, and we calculated the load because they were a little concerned about the 32 inches on space. But we're going to leave the space decking, which is actually 4x1s, set off 5 inches on center. So there's like a 3-inch space in between the 4x1s. We're going to leave that and deck over that and then put down underlayment, drip edges. And we would like to go with the Grand Sequoia if – everyone's all right with that. And if not, the Grand Sequoia, which is the exact same asphalt shingle Lindsay just pulled up. We were going to go with the very stereotypical architectural Timberline HDZ. But Gaff says that the Grand Sequoia, it was more made to replicate the original, more textured variants of appearance for a to better replicate like the original wood shake. And honestly, my house burned down last October, 4 days before me and my wife's wedding. So I've been dealing with that stuff and this. And I didn't know if I needed to do like one color. So this is a family business, me and my mom. So we just put every color we're okay with to be told. You guys can tell us what color not to use. Sure. I just didn't want to supply one and then have to go through the whole thing. So we're fine with any of them. We just didn't want to like have to redo everything. If I was like, hey, we want a Adobe Sunset. And then everyone's like, no, resubmit with a Cedar Falls or something, you know. So we're okay with any of these, and yeah, that's kind of the scope of work for that one. It's pretty intense, and it's going to be pretty much a whole new re-roof, but at the end it's going to look a lot more original and closer to its original wood shake roof than the asbestos thin concrete tiles that are in there.
So you're going to tear the roof down to you get rid of the old layers that are underneath there. You're going to leave the roof rafters on 32 inch on center spacing, and you're going to have the roof joists. Well, you're going to leave the decking, but put new plywood decking on top of that.
Yeah. We're going to leave the space decking that they originally used, the 4x1s with 3-inch gaps in between them. We're going to leave that and put the plywood over that, because that's going to really make that really strong and really support. I mean, it's going to be better supported than new ones with 24 inches on center with only 3-inch gaps running parallel across it.
I'm sorry. I hope everyone is seeing me flipping through stuff. I'm trying to find the Grand Sequoia.
Those were actually up higher a little bit. They're right under the
Yeah,
timberline.
I think you scrolled past them,
Yeah,
Jim.
I've
Stand by.
found it on the website if you want me to pull up my screen.
It's also it's
If you would have it handier than I, Rachel, but I think I'm.
That was it. That was it. Wait, stop. Oh, go back. Those are the normal, those are the timber lines. Those are the totally like everyone in the neighborhood has. And if you got, that's the Grand Sequoia. It's supposed to come out a little more textured, a little more variance, and they made it to better replicate original wood shake roofs. It's like their top of the line shingle that Gaff sells, honestly.
Okay, so I don't see the word Grand Sequoia, so I'm sorry I didn't appear
Dude,
earlier because I didn't know what to look for. So,
I'm really bad at
you
technology. It's like somewhere around that picture. Microsoft Word wouldn't let me put anything where I wanted to. I couldn't set right there. GAF Grand Sequoia, sorry.
know.
Man.
Okay, oh, I see. Very good. Okay, we got it. Good enough.
And with the our favorite color was the Adobe Sunset. It was kind of like a lighter medium bodied brown, and it would really match the cream colored and like the wood accents we have going on with the building. But honestly, anything's going to look better than that, like, God knows how old asbestos cement up there that has been breaking, cracking. And I've been trying to like patch the tiles that I could in time, but they don't sell it. I can't really touch it, move it, or do anything to it. So it's going to look a lot better than it does right now once it's all said and done.
All right, so I think Michael had us bring this one, had Travis bring this one forward for a full review because it's a pretty significant scope of work. Taking all the old stuff off and redecking and whatnot. So from a scope dollar value point of view, it kind of sort of makes it trips the city's threshold for what a minor review can be allowed to do. But at the end of the day, I believe, Travis, you're saying that you're going to fix all that stuff underneath. You're not going to change any roof penetrations, correct?
No, we are not altering the shape, the size, the dimensions, pipes. No, we are literally gonna keep everything original, but take off the three layers of roofing, put down a half inch plywood underneath, and put underlayment, drip edges, and these shingles on top of it.
And so to clarify, Grand Sequoia is the shape of the shingle
Yeah.
and the color is Adobe Sunset.
That was our first choice. We're very easygoing. The Adobe Sunset was our first choice, but I put all choices, all colors that we like, which is pretty much all of them. And I know a lot of people in the neighborhood started putting up black, some of the charcoal colors and stuff like that. We really like the Adobe Sunset, the shake woods, and a bark wood, which is all like kind of shades of brown, but we're really easygoing. And all my apartments are rented, and from my house fire, we're actually in one of them, and we got the worst leaking in there. And I just want to get my roofs fixed so it's quit destroying the kitchens. And we're pretty easygoing, but we kind of like the brown shades. The Adobe Sunset first choice, and then we went down. We like the Adobe Sunset, the Mesa Brown, the Cedar, the Weathered Wood are like our top choices, but we're really easygoing.
All right. Do I have any other?
I have a question. Michael, is this is so this is not up for being a minor review. This is a full review regardless, correct?
No, not necessary. Because based on what he's explaining now, when I read through what he was proposing to do, it appears to me much more than what he's explaining now. So I will leave it up to the boards.
So we could say this is still a minor review as well.
Yes.
Okay. Does somebody want to, do I need to
Yep.
do
So I'll jump in.
it? Okay.
I move that we approve the Grand Sequoia shingle option as a minor review color. As the client desires.
This is Rachel Sarah. I second. Sorry, Damon.
Very good.
Having little
So
It's a game show. You got to push the button for that.
are you just giving him that one option, or do you want to do like the first case, give two options?
Well, I think Michael, what, if I may, Grand Sequoia is the type, and what Jim is saying is that's fine with us, and whatever color you presented is fine with us too. So you pick the color, but Grand Sequoia is good.
Awesome.
Okay.
That makes sense? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have a motion. We have a second. Any dialogue? Hearing none. All in favor, aye.
Jim Block,
Hi.
aye.
Okay. Thank you. Motion approved. Let's kind of quickly go through then, because it is a separate item, 720. The scale of the work is a little different, less actually, right? Because you're not having to do as much work. So if you could just kind of go through that.
Yeah, 720 was built.
And Jim, if you don't mind, I'm sorry, if you could just pull up the narrative for 720. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah, 720 was built 1984, I believe. My parents purchased it 88. It's non-compliant, but it definitely coheres with like the standard structure and the kind of older looking appearance of the building. It got three tab like original three tab asphalt shingles on it, and the same storm that ripped off all the south faces really ripped off the south facing slopes on this roof. It's already got half inch decking. One spot's a little bad, but I talked to I think Ian down at the city. He said it's not enough square footage to go through him. He's fine with it because it's only like a 2x2 section. And we're just gonna rip off the old three tabs and the underlayment, put on underlayment, and match the shingles to the 202 building because they're about 5 feet apart from each other. And yeah, that's the scope of work on that one. A lot easier. And yeah, that's yeah. Just so we're choosing between the Grand Sequoia or the Timberline. We're pretty easy with either one. I would prefer the Grand Sequoia because it's a pretty beastly shingle. It's gauge thickness is very is a lot thicker than the Timberlines, and just want to have the roof looks a lot better. This one also is it's pretty hard to see because it's a pretty tall 3-story building, so you can't really see the roof from anywhere. But we're still gonna match it to the 202 building.
Okay. So I can, for everybody, I kind of feel like, and I know we all know these apartments, and even though the 202 is contributing and 720 is non-contributing, and sometimes we like to differentiate from one another, might be better if the shingles are the same.
I've painted them all the same like color schemes. I use like the same door paint, the same like trim paint, the same wall paint. Me and my mom are a family business. We don't have any investors or anything. She does all the paperwork. I do all the renovations, all the maintenance myself. And just to like keep costs and keep everything efficient and like historic, I try to kind of use the same stuff so I don't have like 30 different paints in my shop. And it's easier for material. It's easier for it's a little more efficient in the long run. And it's there. It's the building kind of has the older look on the I put pictures of the street views. You can kind of see it kind of has like the built-in framing for the windows facing Sixth Avenue and everything, but it's definitely apparent that it's not actually like a historic building because
I think that's probably enough differentiation that this is my opinion for the board to consider,
well,
but we
I
don't
think
need.
too generally that's I think like if you're putting an
Yeah, right.
addition on
Yeah.
it, you want sort of that separation of knowing what's new and old. I don't know that since they're not really attached, I don't think it matters if they have the same coloring and all that.
Okay.
I will make the same motion
I will second.
that I made for the previous building, if possible.
Okay, and I just heard Greg second.
That was Damon.
That was David.
Oh, it was Damon. Sorry, sorry, sorry.
We love these buildings. Thank you for taking such great care of them. And obviously, they're popular because they're always full.
Yeah.
I mean, I never see a for rent sign out. I can't tell my friends to go and find it because they're always booked. So anyway, thank you so much. And
okay,
I
wait. We have a motion and a second.
Sorry, and I'm just yeah.
Call the order. We have a motion and a second.
Mr. Chair. Jim, please, can you repeat the same motion? We're recording. These are public records, please.
Okay.
I'm going to remind Mr. Glock what his motion was.
Exactly.
He can, Mr. Glock on the 202 address said he motioned to approve the Grand Sequoia as a minor review in whatever color the client chooses. And then Rachel seconded.
Okay.
That's Mr. Taku, that is my motion, and I believe we have a second, but I won't speak for myself.
Damon second, and I don't think we have any other discussion except to say Travis is doing a good job on his property. So given that, all in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Jim Glock. Yeah.
Rachel, you said yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Motion is approved 6-0. Okay. All right.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, Travis. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. That brings us to item 4B on the agenda. SD 01250017. 907 North 5th Avenue. And I believe Benjamin, yep, you are presenting.
Yep.
Okay. Can you share your screen?
Let me make him. Just give me a minute.
Okay.
It should be good to go.
Okay. All right, so it's showing up.
Yes.
Okay. So should I just begin?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. The first couple of pages are just the HPR review application and the cover sheet and checklist. And the missing third page is actually for the zoning comments, which weren't yet available by the time I was asked to submit this package for this review. But the two comments from zoning were one, to have a document signed by my neighbors to the north who share the property lot line, since there will be a zero lot line setback at their property. And the second was to obtain a rear yard setback reduction from 10 feet because the alley is actually called Arizona Avenue.
In fact, you don't actually need that. You don't need that signature because the historic review process has the ability to waive setbacks. So they're telling you to do that just to avoid you from doing the design development option application, which projects in the historic preservation zone, the review process has the ability to waive those setbacks. So you really don't need that. But if you got it signed, that's fine.
Yes, sir. I did obtain it. Is it attached to my reply submittal?
Okay.
So on this page here, it's a site aerial showing the subject property, 907 Fifth Avenue, kind of highlighted in pink there. Sorry. Next page here shows the border development area, which is this one side of the block since we front the park. And then I've got elevations from each direction of the property. This is an east view facing Fifth Avenue.
This is a west view facing Arizona Avenue. This is the north property view. And this is the south property view. From here, I started to identify other properties that are within this development area, which have similar existing setbacks that are one in excess of the 10 feet to Arizona Avenue, and also in the side yard setback encroachment. So this is 903 North Fifth Avenue, my neighbor to the south. This is 937 North Fifth Avenue to the north of me, a couple of houses. This is 919, my adjacent neighbor to the north. And also the folks that signed off on the zero lot line setback. And then here's the historic property information sheet. And then I've got a couple of images of the south side of the carport and the west side of the carport. And then this page really goes into just the breakdown of the project information, a site plan overview, and an aerial of the site location. And on this page here, I've got the description, the location of the old carport and the new carport. They're in the same location. And then I have east and west elevations of the back of the carport structure and also the north and south elevations. Now, on this page here, this is where we're really going to dive into the development standards and how we came up with this plan. But regarding the new construction and how it should reflect the architectural style, we feel like the two factors that played into the design were honoring a utilitarian approach to design while invoking craftsman details and minimizing the impact of new construction has had on existing structures. The beam and framing overhang grouping recall craftsman detail found within the neighborhood. And we believe that the structure was designed with minimal sizes for the members and utilizing the horizontal low sloping lines to minimize the differences between original and reconstructed work. Regarding the height of principal and proposed constructive structures, we maintained the height of the original structure when we redeveloped the back structure. It has the same high line as it did originally. Regarding the roof height, the height of the roof port, as I just mentioned, was the same as it was before. On the setbacks, as Michael mentioned, when we begin down this road, you guys have the ability to reduce the setback, but in terms of comparable structures, 938 North Avenue has a reduced setback. It's actually a combo 938 and 940. And then from a proportion scale, still, I think 938, 940 is most applicable in that it maintains a low sloping roof line and a reduced setback to Arizona Avenue. And then in terms of the roof type, it is just a sheet metal 26 gauge, similar to the original sheet metal that was up on top of the original structure. And then from a surface textural component, we've opted for a smooth painted steel, similar to the wood seen on many of the porches in the development zone. And then under site utilization, I would just say that the development zone has many garages and carports found throughout that have reduced setbacks. And then projections and recessions, feel like the beaming and overhang at the perimeter beams and different heights of everything are reminiscent of the craftsman style found throughout the neighborhood. And the construction should have architectural details. I would reference back to H above with the same commentary. And then on the size and massing, I would reference again to D and H. And then the non-applicable would be the rhythm. And then an additional item that we maintained was color because it ties in with the other two structures on the site. And landscaping was non-applicable in this process. And in terms of the enclosure and what it's made out of, it's made out of precisely the same CMU wall enclosure that was built on the property maybe 15 years ago that I share with my northern neighbor. So that was just extended from that connection line back and around to create the two exterior walls. And we also use that same style of wall on the southern property line. And in terms of motor vehicles, the parking is allocated for on-site and the carport is enclosed behind a garage door, similar to many other ones in the development zone. I'll briefly run over these to just say that everything that was removed was reused. And by that, I mean, these two properties, myself and the one to the south, were constructed by the same investor in 1908. And all of the tin that you can see in this photo was saved and picked up by Andy, my neighbor to the south. And all of the wood that used to hold the cars in was used to rebuild a fence on the southern property line. Just my confirmation, notice of demolition. I don't know that we need to get into a letter from my neighbor, you know, to the...
No, I'd rather not.
Thank you. I appreciate that. let's see.
Hey, Ben. Yes. This agenda talks about a code enforcement case.
Yes.
Can you explain to the board what the case is about? What are you trying to do here?
Yes, I can. Apparently in 21, the previous owner of this building pulled out a permit to install an HVAC system, and they installed it, but they never finaled the inspection. The neighbor to the south had a first right of refusal on our property when we entered into contract, and he wouldn't release that first right of refusal unless we moved the HVAC condensers before closing. We had that done. He signed off on the first right of refusal. We bought the home. So that is one of the items that's mentioned on this violation, because it was noticed by the enforcement officer, who also noticed there wasn't a site plan that showed the southern wall on it, and that the back carport had been reconstructed, including the CMU wall. And those are the items listed on the case number CE-VIO-0824-03393.
So you've shown us in some detail the carport that was put on the back, but also, you know, I don't think we're necessarily having to get into where the condenser unit is, but you did construct a wall between you and Andy's house on the southern side.
I did.
I thought you had some photographs of that. And that wall did not go through historic review. So if you could maybe do what you can to show us what you got there. Sure. So Benjamin, for your benefit, part of what we're doing tonight is sort of theoretically as if you were coming to ask us to build that wall in the first place when you hadn't already done it. Does that make sense?
Understood 100%.
Okay, good. So if you can just kind of walk us through what you did on the southern side.
Could I comment on that briefly?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I believe that that Andy put in a permit for the wall on his southern side, which would be Andy's northern side, and it was approved previously. So the wall should not necessarily be tonight's issue.
The wall is part of the violation.
It is.
Well, if the city had done its due diligence and reviewed what Andy had submitted and got approved from his historic review for his northern wall, which is Benjamin's southern wall, they would have found that it had been addressed and reviewed. But if that's not the case, that's fine.
Trying to help,
you can get,
to help
we can get it wrapped up tonight.
I'm trying to help clear the violation. Okay. So it is mentioned, it is explicitly part of the violation.
Okay.
It is. For that, I've got the plans, they're drawn and they're structurally engineered stamped. So, and thank you, Jim, for offering that bit of clarification. So here's one of the details drawn at a half an inch to foot. It's not even a full CMU wall. It gets to about 6 foot, but there are five sections that are 3 feet from about 3 feet to the 6 foot range. It's really just horizontal slats for me to grow vegetation onto, like star jasmine. And that's what the horizontal slats are represented here. Otherwise, it's 8x8x16 split face CMU wall. And this is a, an overall view of that wall length, including those five knockouts I just mentioned.
So if you can go back to that for just a moment.
Yes, sir.
So the 30 some odd feet on the left side of that drawing.
Yes, 36.8 feet. That's a 2 foot wall.
2 foot wall, and that pops up to the higher elevation aft of the front elevation of the home, of the principal structure, correct?
That is correct. It pops, okay. It goes vertical at about the fireplace, would be probably the best way to.
Okay.
Give you an exact location of that footage.
Okay. All right.
So just real quick, zoning probably is not going to allow you to have a fence over 6 feet tall, and it says 6 foot, 1.5 inches. Have they said anything? After it goes above 6 feet, it has to be at least 50% transparent. And I just don't want you to go through all this work and then have it not. Or is it already built?
It's already built.
Okay, yeah. Never mind. Then just erase that inch and a half.
Okay. Yeah.
That's why I brought up that this is part of the violation. The inspector went out to the home for other reasons and looked over and said, well, this wall was never here. Mm-hmm. And so that got added to the violation.
Because you're allowed to go up to 10 feet, but after 6 feet, it has to be at least 50% transparent.
Right.
So like a wrought iron, something like that. So you might be able to make a case for it if they made an issue, if they haven't brought it up and they don't bring it up, erase that on your dimensions. And then it won't.
Yeah.
I will do that. I will say that it is greater than 50% exposed because of the horizontal lattice, but I will
just avoid someone getting.
Let's not get into having to do the math on the 50%.
Yeah, it would be easier for them to just not even see that. Believe me.
Okay.
Their hang up was that it had not been permitted in the first place.
So, correct.
Yeah, then the next person looks at it and then they'll see that and then it will start all over again. So,
all right, sorry. Damon, yes.
I think we're supposed to be reviewing this as if it's not been constructed. And so I'm trying to look at the plans from the perspective of had it not been done, recognizing that you did do some work. I think what we would have taken exception to was the unstuccoed CMU on both the wall and the structure.
That's what I was going to bring that up, yes.
Yeah, and I think you said it's split face. I didn't see that in the pictures, or maybe it's only on one side, but
it is.
I see. So
because I'm sorry to interrupt. The existing wall on the northern lot line was set up. It was built with a single-sided split face block facing the southern direction. And so when the extension of that was constructed, it was constructed with the same single face, split face in the same direction.
I see. Yeah. So on both the carport structure and the fence, I think we may have taken exception to the exposed CMU. The design guidelines tend to drive people to stucco over CMU block when used as masonry. Other than that, I don't take any exception to the general design or anything like that, but I think the CMU is maybe worth discussing.
So I will throw out, because actually it's kind of, I'm on the same page as Damon. If it were stuccoed, it would be easier. It has a texture, the split face, and it's also, if I remember correctly, colored. It's not white, regular CMU you buy from Home Depot. It's a reddish color. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So I think I agree with Damon. We would have had a hard time with this. And I appreciate that you were copying what was already there. So so now the question is to the board. Do we say by exception because the existing wall on the north side was that way, we were mimicking it, and given that it does have, you know, features that are not just plain CMU, is it a case by case exception kind of thing or not? I mean, what do you all feel about that? So I want to be careful. We don't want CMU, unstuccoed CMU walls appearing throughout the neighborhood.
Got it.
So if I might offer, again, the north wall that he mimicked on the south side with respect to the CMU facing has been there for quite some time. Whether it went through historic review or not at the time, we can leave behind us. But I guess two observations. One is it is colored. You wouldn't know at first that it wasn't, you know, kind of a monolithic kind of wall. Secondly, I mean, the color is, you know, very compatible with the home adjacent to it. And I just, I think that it actually being stuccoed I think I like what, as proposed, let me call it proposed, over stucco, just because of its differentiation. And then finally, it is not something that is easily seen from the streetscape where on Fifth Avenue, where you're looking back on it. In fact, you know, where your eye is drawn to is the beautiful home and not the wall. And what portions of the wall your eye is drawn to is not the CMU. It's the paneling for the plants that Benjamin wants to grow there. So I just think that the wall looks great. So that's my two bits.
Is there, and by the way, Benjamin, I don't know you. My name is Damon, but
Damon,
you're approaching it. And we can tell that you're, you know, sort of trying to do the right thing. Is there, with respect to the carport, are you open to the idea of covering it in stucco?
Well, the first thing that kind of comes to my mind, and I know that, you know, you guys don't know me from Adam, but I've done a lot of building and a lot of historical work as well in other areas. And to take and stucco a back corner where it's exposed, where would we end that? Would that be at the cutoff line on the neighbor to the north, or do we stucco 150 foot of a wall? Because now we got to get a neighbor to the north to want to let me stucco. Sorry, go ahead, Jim.
Well, no, I'm just asking whether or not I can share my screen. I wanted to show a picture of the previous what Ben re
Well, we, Jim,
Ben.
I appreciate what you're trying to do, and I know that it looked kind of crappy to start with. So, I think we all know that there was a
Okay, so that's
the,
not germane.
these.
Sorry.
No,
Where's
I
the
think we're
poster?
trying to decide now just where we are with respect to our guidelines and exceptions to the guidelines.
Yeah, there's no question that you improved the property, and
Yeah,
those of
right.
us that live in the neighborhood very much appreciate it. So, yeah, that should go, I guess, without saying, but I'll say it on the record for their
Thank you.
benefit. Yeah, there's no question that you improved the property. It was definitely a disaster. It's yeah, I think this is more kind of a precedence thing, and I'm sure you didn't know about this process and all those things. But yeah, it causes a problem when other people want to go and build a CMU wall without getting a permit, and then they don't stucco it, and it just starts to spread through the neighborhood if we allow it in one place. Other people start using it as a precedent, whether or not they should or it's valid anyway. So one potential solution, and yes, I agree, you brought up the idea of, well, so where do you stop it? And I don't have a great answer for that. But for the outward facing things, I'm wondering if you're open to the idea of stuccoing it.
Yeah, if I had to be open to the idea, I would only advocate that you had me stucco the wall that faces Arizona Avenue and then the portion of the northern wall that dives back until the neighbor has their gate that cuts across the driveway so that there's a true delineation.
Yeah, I can see. I'm looking at Street View, and so I follow what you're saying. I can see.
So if I could comment, what Ben did was mimic the wall between his northern neighbor and he, and just brought it around the corner to then the existing wall that was CMU to begin with, and it's not stuccoed. So if again, we're looking at this as though it hadn't been constructed yet. I would entertain allowing the mimicry of the wall between him and his neighbor to be brought around the corner and matched to the wall along Arizona Avenue. And the fact that it happens to be a different color, distinguishes it in that it's not the same thing. So so we aren't trying to confuse things with respect to historicity or not. So,
So I think we have a good case here for the approval of a case-by-case basis because of, matching the existing wall. It's a textured surface. Stuccoing split-face block is not ideal. It's not going to adhere very well, so it's not really recommended to do in general.
only split on one side. The stuff
Right.
facing out on the alley is not split face.
Okay. What I'm saying is I think we have a good case to do the case by case basis approval versus saying no because it's a CMU wall.
I mean,
I also
I
just
understand
went
what
to the
you're
pro
saying.
site and I don't see a permit for this wall on either address, so I don't think it was ever permitted, or at least it's not in the city records. For 903 or 907. So I don't know if it was included in one of the other permits for 903.
It would have been, it's,
You know the
gosh, I
timeframe?
don't know the addressing scheme on this block, but the folks to the north have had that wall in for 15 plus
Oh, it's
years.
to the north of you.
Correct. Yes, ma'am. That is
Oh, I
correct.
was looking at the one to the south of you. Let me
Oh,
look up.
sorry.
Yeah, Rachel, the one to the south is what he added. The one to the
Got
north is
it.
what he
The
was
north is the one
mimicking.
that's already existing.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Right.
Okay. Never mind.
Which may also not have been permitted either. I mean, who knows? But
mean,
I just wanted to see if it had been, because they said it was already, that type of wall was already.
the problem I see is that the design guide specifically does not allow it. It's not like a. There are things within the design guidelines that give us some freedom to allow things on case-by-case basis, but specifically CMU is disallowed. There's a picture of it with a big no next to it.
So would we be open to entertaining that I just simply stucco the back portion of the wall that has the door and then wrap around the side until it hits the rear fence line of my neighbor to the north? Or do you want that all the way to the connection point?
Yeah, I don't, can I share my screen?
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, maybe. No, maybe make you a co-host, everyone, so you can share. It should be good now.
Can you guys see my screen?
Tell me the.
Yes.
One moment.
Yep.
So I think this is your carport. Is that right, Benjamin?
I actually just, I've got you on screen right now, Damon, not your screen. You do not have a CMU block wall face.
Yeah, I can see it, Damon.
Okay, well, I think you can see this is not split face, right? Again, significant improvement to what was there. No debate about that. I think what Benjamin's describing is stuccoing these exposed areas. I assume you can see my mouse. Up to, there looks like the neighbor on the north side has a metal gate right here. And I understand what you're saying. There's kind of an awkward transition of, you know, what would you do to the east of their metal gate?
Correct. Right. And so would you stucco everything that way?
Yeah. I mean, that was, I think, the question.
Or just
do that square. I don't know. I mean, this is sort of I think that's kind of what perhaps could be proposed. I think, I don't know. I'd like to ignore it myself. The problem is,
I get it, guys.
So, is there a way for us to ignore it? I look out onto it every time I walk into the alley, and it looks great. So, but. And there's other unstuccoed block next to it to the south that, you know, he shouldn't be obliged to have to stucco because it's already there. And yes, I know the design guidelines, and I know it says no and a big, big no. But we have some jurisdiction, I would think, or some prerogative to consider our design guidelines as that guidelines. And exercise some of our professional judgment in cases that like this. So I'll leave it at that.
The color and the texture and the fact that it's matching something on the site gives us a little bit of substance to saying we're allowing this case.
I
get what you're saying, Damon. It's a slippery slope.
I have to respectfully totally disagree. We're supposed to.
Yeah.
Like, it hasn't been done yet. And
right.
Like, I get it. Benjamin's a very nice guy. He's trying to do the right thing. He also happens to be Jim's neighbor. I understand all that. But, I mean, and I also happen to agree that design guidelines aren't the law, right? We're not supposed to apply them as if they're law. We're supposed to use our judgment. But without guidelines, we would just be, you know, treating our friends the way we want to treat our friends and treating strangers differently. And it's like, it's clearly stated in here that you're not supposed to have exposed CMU block. So,
Can we split a hair because it is split face CMU block? It's not 100% CMU block.
So, Benjamin, if I may, I'm going to interrupt here as the chair. We struggle as a board in being deviating too widely from what is unambiguously stated in our guidelines. Okay. There are consequences that ripple through other decisions that really don't affect whether you did a good job or not. It could well be that, stepping back for just a minute. So I assume, Michael, this is going to have to go to PRS.
It will.
So it could well be that we say, you know, this is not consistent with our guidelines, and which it is not. I mean, to Damon's point, it just simply isn't. And there isn't even in the guidelines as they exist today, given on the case-by-case basis exceptions, which there are other things in the guidelines which give us that. We are an advisory board, so we may well want to stick to our guns on what is written, which is not what you did, and leave it to the PRS to agree or disagree with us, and they are also an advisory board, and you have an opportunity, which I think you have a case for, by the way, to disagree and appeal. Neither this board nor the next board that you go to is the final say in anything. The final say is mayor and council, but before it gets to that, it's the director, it's Michael's boss. And you certainly can take exception to that. And I kind of see why you might want to do that, given the things you did. But if we simply say that the guidelines that we have in writing that were adopted by the city and are the accepted law of the land are in this particular case, because you already did it and whatnot, are okay to bypass, I think you can appreciate what the other 600 homes in the neighborhood put at risk. Does that make sense?
Can I make an observation? When we talk about fences, we're talking about these rules applying to street-facing fences. The fact that this is truly an alley, I think the last statement of this section on fences that says these fence materials will be considered for the side yards and rear yards only if they are not visible from a street. Each case is considered on an individual basis. So the word street and that each case is considered on an individual basis kind of gives us the hole we're trying to shoot through here.
Okay. I'm actually loving what you're saying, but I'm going to look at what you're...
Page 28 of the proposed guidelines.
Well, just... Michael's saying it. That's okay. Well, we didn't change any of this stuff. I don't think we did anyway. Doors... windows, here's the stupid fences. So what, tell me where you're looking at, Greg, again, just so I can catch up with you.
It's under seven.
Oh, number seven. Yeah.
And the word a street, an avenue is not a street. I'm really splitting hairs now, aren't I?
No. I mean, it's important.
Like, we may want to take that under advisement to clean that up a little bit and not just say from a street, because that's kind of vague.
Well, what do you guys, I mean, so I'm looking at it. I think we have have thought about this stuff a little bit when we're doing the revisions. I will say I'm on Damon's side of the argument that we need to be very, very, very careful to not say these are our guidelines and then accept today.
Yeah, I don't really think, I mean, I don't really know what the hell this means either. I think the way I interpret it, it means, like for a house that's not on the corner of the street side, regardless of if it's a street or an avenue, is where you look at the front or the rear of the house. I think generally it would be the front. I don't think it accounts for like the fact that a lot of our properties go through to another street or an alley. I think when they're talking about the side, they're talking about like in between two houses. So I guess I s still feel that if we were reviewing this as if it hadn't been done, I think we would have gotten into a discussion about the existing wall and the CMU block that's there. We probably would have talked about the fact that that's kind of side yard, and maybe we can accept that given that it's not street facing. But for the stuff that is street facing, I think we would have argued for a stucco finish. So I don't know. My recommendation, honestly, because I don't think it's that big of a deal, it doesn't look like it's that much space, would be to ask Benjamin to stucco the area around the garage door and the carport, and maybe going back to the neighbor's gate, put a stucco finish on it, paint it a sim very, very similar color.
I think I can, if I'm going to do that, I think it would be probably behoove me to actually get a stained stucco that already matches the underlying CMU wall so that it just ties in without a paint need.
Yeah, that would be fine too. But I think that would sort of be like the best,
I can commit to that.
the best kind of compromise that would allow us to say that we, didn't play favorites. We really looked at this the way we would if it was being proposed from the beginning, and tried to hold everybody to the same standard. And I recognize your case is somewhat unique, and you did kind of have this weird situation with this CMU block wall in between
I
you
also
two.
understand you have 600 other homes.
Yeah.
So I respect that entirely. Your position is unique.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's kind of what I rec would recommend. I'm curious to see what other people think. And I don't think it's like a huge expense that we're at. I mean, it's minor compared to the expense you've already outlaid to do all this work.
So, okay. Rick laid out a future path of this particular issue that I'm going to try to worm a motion into recognizing the ability for us to uphold our guidelines and give the future reviewing agencies an out in that we are not going to fall on our sword for this. And that would be we move to approve the alley, the Arizona Avenue facing surfaces of the new construction to be stuccoed to abide by the West University Historic Zone Advisory Board's adopt mayor and council adopted guidelines. And then I want, this is important, unless otherwise overruled by another body.
We don't actually have to say unless overruled by another body.
I know, but I wanted to say that to give the other bodies an indication that we're not going to go to the mat on this thing. So.
Well, okay. Yes, I'm fine with the intent. I'm not fine with the exact wording of the motion. I think I'm okay with the applicant when he goes to PRS saying, this is what the ruling we got from West University is. However,
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, this
yeah.
body makes a recommendation to the director. You are not
Okay.
making a recommendation to
Thank you.
PRS.
Okay.
All due respect, Michael, that is true. Yes, technically true, but nonetheless, the LAR from this meeting is presented to PRS when the applicant goes there. And so what we say actually does get presented to them as part of the decision process from
Yes,
them.
but PRS also is responsible for making an independent judgment recommendation just as you are. I don't want it to appear as if you are making a recommendation to PRS. You're not. You're making
Correct.
an
That's
independent.
why I'm actually saying the unless somebody else says no, shouldn't be part of our law.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Right. I'm just saying we have an opinion. This is our opinion. And, I think Benjamin, and you understand you got one more group just like us to go through.
So I guess your motion should end where Jim ended without including the other parts.
Well, how do I do this? So I would move. First of
I'm
all,
not sure. I'm not sure, Jim. I want us to be signaling to the next board what our hidden opinion.
No. I got it. I know. I understand that.
I don't. I don't like that.
I'm trying to find.
We have an opinion. This is our opinion. And then they've overruled us in the past. It doesn't happen often. They have, and the applicant is perfectly free to say this is widely debated. I'll write widely debated in my notes here. But you know, I think we have to agree, and I'm gonna just take a position, which I think is where Damon's going to. Even though I said it says, you know, visible from a street, we have named alleys that are essentially streets. I mean, there's addresses on those things, and there's their streets from a functional point of view. So
I think it's kind of weird that we have that wording, because so many times people are like, well, you can't even see this from the street, so it doesn't matter. So I don't think we should have anything on our guidelines that says anything about being visible from anywhere, because it's all getting approved or not.
Yeah.
Just for our own sake going forward, because that's an argument we get a lot.
Yeah. So if the board could
raise so that's like a different thing.
And later, at the very end of this meeting, we're going to talk a little bit about where we are going forward on the design guide revisions, which is not what we're talking about right now.
Yes.
But
this is a whole reason why we're reviewing them.
Well, this is the whole reason. And this is a good case study into why we should make a few changes to the language. So my suggestion is that we make a recommendation based on the guidelines that we adhere to and adopt, and recognize that the applicant has the ability to appeal to the next meeting and subsequent to that, even beyond that, the mayor and council. But I think our recommendation should just be our recommendation. You know, to whether it's what Damon said or whatever, which is just, let's not differentiate. Named alleys are functionally streets. There's street addresses on them. People get their mail on those things. They're streets. And our interpretation of the guidelines are, this needs to not be that way, I think.
Okay. Well, Uncle.
I'm crying. Uncle. Yeah.
Here's my motion.
Okay.
Move that we approve the carport construction face, a street face, to be with a stucco finish to then match the gate to the neighboring property to the north. A stucco finish to extend to the gate of the property to the north. With a color as recommended by the applicant to match the existing underlying color. Is that what you wanted, Ben?
Yeah.
Underlying color?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I second.
Does that work? Okay.
And works then, for me.
And again, emphasize.
I'm sorry. I'm just doing a little Robert's Rules thing here, just to get us moving along. If that's your motion, we need you a second, and we need a discussion.
Right, right.
Before we skip to discussion.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I'm sorry, I jumped to ask for an input from Ben before that had occurred. And I just kind of want to note that, in accordance with our guidelines, we ask that the applicant have the CMU block face of the carport be stuccoed along the streetscape and turning the corner to the
demise in line
of the adjacent neighbor. That work? I'm sorry, Rick, you're having to record all this.
I think he's got it.
I got it. I think it's okay.
Okay.
You'd be surprised how many times I come back and watch this video again. So I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yeah, this is Damon. I second.
Discussion. So I will bring up that I think we need to overtly approve the south wall.
Yeah, I agree.
Can we do that in a separate motion?
No, I think it should be part of our LAR. Okay. So I've been typing what I think. I just put it in the chat, but I'll read it for everybody. So I think the LAR should reflect that we accept the split face CMU wall in the side yard, even though it's visible from the street, because of the unique situation where this property has a matching CMU wall on the opposite side yard.
Are you amending the motion?
No, well, I'm not amending the
motion. Not yet.
We're in the discussion period right now.
Okay. I'm not amending the motion. I'm just saying, I think we, because Jim said basically approve as proposed with the stucco on the carport thing, I want to make sure the LAR reflects that we are accepting the split face CMU wall on the side yard and our rationale for accepting it. Because that makes it a unique kind of decision that we made only because this property had a matching wall on the opposite side yard.
Right.
So I think for the owner wants that because he wants proof that we knew about that and accepted it. And we want that because we wanted to show that it was a unique situation for this house. And that's why we accepted it.
So wouldn't that need to be part of the motion, though? Or is that only has to be
part of the motion? Yes, it would be.
It would have to be part of the motion.
I just want to make sure I was understanding.
Because you said you didn't want to. That's why I'm not going to a vote yet. So we've had a discussion. Damon brought up a good point. If there's any further discussion, fine. Otherwise, I would like to do a...
The maker of the motion would like to accept Damon's clarification to include the reference to the fence on the south property line and the conditions he noted. Can I get away with that?
North property line, just for clarification.
No, it's south property
line. North south property line.
No. It's the south property line. The north property line is not up for review. It already exists.
Oh.
You guys built the south wall without approval. So that's what we're trying to approve.
Okay.
So does Damon need to resecond?
Yeah, he needs to.
He would.
Is that like a fourth? Sorry, that was a bad joke. Every second.
Hold on. Second. That's a new word. Resecond.
No, don't say that.
I'm going to say resecond in the water. Okay, we now have another motion. Another second. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
Jim Block,
aye. Okay. All right. Thank you, Benjamin.
Thank you guys for your time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben.
Okay. Okay. We're going to move on here. I'm kind of looking at the clock. We got 20 minutes. SD02250032921 North 2nd Avenue, ADU. Bob Lanning, are you presenting?
It's myself. Yes, I am. It's myself and Stephen Curti. So there's two of us in this office.
Oh, Stephen? Okay, I did not get Stephen. Okay, Stephen, could you spell your last name, Stephen?
Yeah, it's Curti, C-U-R-T-I.
C-U-R-T-I. Thank you very much, just for the record. Okay, so we'll... One of you share your screen, or
can we share our screen now?
Michael is controlling that.
Yes, you may.
Okay. But we don't know how fast or slow to go here, but we have a new ADU proposal at this at the rear yard, which is actually facing Bean at 922 or 921 and 923 North 2nd Avenue. So let's see. Which,
yeah, this is the historic property inventory form. There's the parcel information. Oops, sorry. Okay, so this is the parcel, the development zone, and these are the contributing properties. Yeah, the existing structure in the front is a contributing property. It's a duplex. Here are photographs of the contributing properties in our development zone. And these are photos of the existing structure on the property, the duplex.
So this top left photo is taken from 2nd Avenue. And just below that is taken from the alley to the southwest corner. That one there is. Yeah, and then the south alley there on the other one. And then that the top right is a shed that has now, is that the one?
No, this is an existing shed that we're proposing to remove because this is where the ADU is going to go.
When you say remove, demo?
Demolish.
Yeah, demolish. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
This is our site. And justice.
So here you can see the existing duplex on the right towards the east. And we decided to keep all of their yards, the building, of course, everything intact. And then to the west portion of the parcel, which is currently got a shed in it and otherwise is vacant, that's where we're proposing this new ADU. So,
and it looks like new parking spaces too.
And new parking places. Yeah, that came. We were going to do one, of course, for us for this new ADU. And then we also got the idea, and this actually just came as a result of thinking about that existing duplex, that it would be nice to have an on-site parking place for each of those two apartments, where currently there are not any legitimate parking places on the site. So those are pull-in places off of the alley to the south, pull-in parking places to the alley in the south. So there'd be one space for each of the three, now going to be three apartments on this parcel.
Yeah.
Bob, do you know when that shed that you are proposing to demolish, do you know when it was constructed?
It's non-contributing. I mean, I did look that up.
We have yeah, somewhere. Some...
It looks like a Home Depot. Not
cool. So Michael, I assume they're going to need a demo permit.
Of course, that's what I asked.
Right. So I
am, so the ordinance for devolution does not say that the property has to be contributed. Any property that is 50 years plus. This documentation, that is the reason I'm asking.
Yeah, this is actually, there's actually more than one shed you can see if you look back just a few years. So this actually, there's just been sheds back there. They are clearly.
So if I may, to kind of help us move along here a little bit, let me just ask you guys, in the way this presentation is going forward, if you're asking, if you're going to demo the shed, since it's in an HPC, that needs to be part of what you're asking us about, and it needs to be in the minutes of the meeting so that we don't have to come back again and do a demo review. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and we do have it on our plan, like existing shed to be removed. It's right here on our plan, so we would like that to be.
And I'm just going to ask you to be clearer, especially because you're going to have to go to PRS next. Removed can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Demo is pretty clear. Does that make sense?
Sure.
Yep. Removed. Yep. So you're asking to demo that shed.
Correct.
Got it.
Can we continue?
Yep.
So as far as the architecture of the ADU, we took all of our cues from the architecture of the principal structure, the duplex. So we've got parapet walls. We've got crenellations on the corners, just like on the building in the front. We've got a clay tile porch in this front of this south elevation here, clay tile roof on a porch with painted wood roughs on, framing elements below that. We've got the stucco on the walls to match the stucco, which is a light sand stucco. We'd match even the color to the main house. All of the windows would be clad wood. The larger windows would be double hung. The smaller windows are either fixed or casements, like those 2x2s there in that elevation. We'd have window sills to match, which would also be smooth stucco to match the existing window sills on the duplex. What else? That might be about it.
You didn't talk about the doors?
I think the doors are in the schedule. If you could scroll over there, door schedule. So all solid wood doors.
Solid wood doors, French doors. There's only two exterior doors, I think. So,
yeah,
one and two, yeah.
Okay. So you're not going to touch the main building. You're not going to touch the. You're going to demo the one shed. The walls that are around the property, you're not. Well, I guess you're going to make room for the parking. Are you taking down walls? I don't think you are.
Yeah, leave up the 6 foot tall wall back on Bean, and it turns the corner actually and goes along the alley on the south.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the north as well.
Are the on this drawing you're showing me right now, you've got like next to the parking, you've got a couple of gates. Are those new or are they already there?
The one to the north is existing. And the one to the south is new.
New.
Yeah.
Trying to help you here. What are you asking us for? So just think in terms of what do you want to have that you don't already have?
In terms of what, the gates?
Anything on this drawing. So the gates are an example. I know you're asking to put the parking spots in there. You got the gate on the south, you're going
to
add.
Yeah, so the reason for that is what we're trying to do is because we've got three new parking places, the gate on the south would be created so that the tenant that's in the southern of the two units in the duplex would have direct access
mm-hmm.
from yep. the parking spot to their door without walking up the alley. So we thought that right. was nice. And then the existing gate to the north on the existing rear wall, that would be for the northernmost tenant to be able to get from a parking place to their backyard and then their back door.
Right.
And
that
then
makes
the third,
perfect
the
sense.
Third, parking place would be for the new ADU.
Okay, so that's a new gate also.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you would like us to approve the gate on the south of this drawing, the gate on the north of this drawing, the ADU, the parking spots, demo of the shed that's there. Is there anything else that you're changing?
Well, on the site, no.
Okay.
So is there any detailing on this new building to differentiate it from a historic building?
But the only thing I can think of is that there's going to be a weep screed at the bottom of these frame walls because it will be framed. So that's going to differentiate it. And just the fact that it's a freestanding structure. I mean, I always think of the differentiation rule in the Secretary of the Interior standards is more about when you're doing additions onto contributing structures. At least that's what Jody Brown used to always say. But in this case, it's a freestanding structure. And so we chose to make it
So,
like
Rachel, do you think that the clerestory windows are differentiating?
I mean, it just came up earlier tonight, even about differentiation. And I agree, it's freestanding, so I don't see an issue with that. But I mean, matching all of the detailing to a historic seems maybe a little, I don't
Well,
know.
that's what I was asking about the clerestory, because I don't think there's clerestory windows on
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah, those high windows are, you don't see those on the older homes in the development zone.
The lack of arches also is kind of differentiating.
Okay.
I mean,
Oh,
so
yeah, that's a good point too, Damon. I like that.
yeah, okay.
And while you're on that page, if you look at the existing duplex, the white color, is that, this is more for the rest of the board, is that within the guidelines, having a very white color for the exterior?
I don't think we have any say on color.
Yeah, we have no say on color, Greg.
I thought the guidelines said something about no, you know, shouldn't be overly bright, but I'll have to reread that.
It actually it might say something about preferences, but it starts the first paragraph probably starts to say we don't get a vote on it.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I've been rereading that quite a bit because we're doing the edits. So I thought I saw something
Okay,
on
yeah.
that. So
Oh
keeps that
yeah.
coming to mind. All right.
No problem. No worries.
And by the way, I'm the property just south of this one. And I like the design. I'm looking forward to having that shed gone, the trailer out of there, and all that, and have a nice, pretty ADU back there.
Yeah. And if, I mean, if there's a question about the gate, you know, these,
No.
the existing gates are these, it's this wood, painted wood slat gates. And you know, if there's a question of kind of what the gates will look like, I think we would, you know, basically do a version of that. Probably replace, you know, repair these ones, but yeah, just so that you know that we're not going to put in some gate that's not appropriate for you know, the context.
This is not a part of your our purview here, but the fence, the wood fence on the south and east side of, or sorry, the west side of the property, it's not going to stand up in a good windstorm. It's not it's going to come down at some point in time.
Okay.
But
Yeah.
that's not within the drawing. You're not talking about changing it, so that'll be taken care of by Mother Nature. And
I
a further review at some other point in time.
was just going to say our client may well want to deal with it at some point. We just haven't had that discussion at this point. And we're choosing to leave it there now, mostly because it's there. And also it gives potentially good security during construction of this duplex or this accessory dwelling unit. So.
That's a good consideration.
Yep.
Quick question, just to make sure I understand what's new and what's old. There's going to be new, this is like a new fence here. Oops, you moved.
Yeah, that's a new fence, and unfortunately, we did not call that what we didn't have a description and a pointer to it, so that's my bad.
How does it integrate into the building at that corner too? Or does it be
Yeah,
open?
I think the idea was that this would be a low wall that at the same height as the wall that wraps around the porch.
And then the one farther to the north where your green line is, that one would be taller. Like that, I
Yeah.
think that ought to be a 6 foot.
Well, yeah, to match this wall here.
So is there a low wall coming around the porch too, or is it just open, or where? I guess I'm confused about where
Yeah,
the.
in the elevations, we've
Okay, so
shown
show.
that this.
Oh, I see that. Okay.
Oh, I see it. Yeah.
I missed that the first time around. Okay.
So to help you guys
So that's just
with.
a stuccoed wall with
Yes.
like a brick cap. Is that what that's showing?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
A brick cap? Okay.
Yeah, it's a. Actually, I think we were going to do a concrete cap to kind of match the main house. If you look on the main house right here, they have this red cast concrete cap.
And that would go
Oh,
on that back
that's concrete.
here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not brick.
Oh, yeah. Now I see that you're zooming in on it. So we're trying to help you here a little bit, but
Yeah.
these things that you're not calling out should be called out. It just help you with the whole approval process. I don't have an issue with it.
Yeah, I don't either. I think we just want it called out material and all that. So would it be a masonry wall then? A stuccoed masonry wall with a
Yeah.
concrete cap
With a concrete cap. Yeah.
painted to match the existing structure.
Yeah.
If you could go back to the plan view for just a second that you were showing a moment ago. Okay. So
So
everything you're
this is
presenting
the
to
short
me,
wall, and
yeah.
this is the tall
Right.
wall, our short wall still,
Short wall there.
And then
and
a
then a
tall
tall
wall
wall
on the
over
north
here.
side.
And it
I mean,
says we're relocating a Ramada also.
no,
yeah.
so, oh, yeah, thank you, Lou. Where is that coming from?
Yeah, so the sorry, the here are these existing Ramadas here and here. Yeah, this was we're having to add this walkway, and that was forcing us to just move this Ramada.
Because it's right now on the south and right on the south side wall. Yeah. And that was a kind of a city requirement that we were dealing with.
Okay. Gotcha.
Is there any details on that Ramada? Was it permitted, or is it just like a temporary thing? It's hard to
It's
tell in that aerial shot.
it yeah, it's one of the it's yeah, it's an existing, it's a temporary yeah, it's one of those kits. Yeah, I could maybe dig up like a street view of it if you'd like me to.
Okay. Yeah, I can. It's kind of hidden by the bush if you go to the Google Street View, but you can see part of it. So it is, it's like wood and like metal roof.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any other questions.
Okay. Yeah, I think what you might be hearing us saying is on a couple of things like the walls in the in the drawing. I don't have a problem with what you're suggesting. It's just not called out. And I think to help you, you want to actually call it out. So it's like it's approved at this height. It's approved at this height. It's, whatever, or the cap that's on it is this. so that there's no ambiguity later on as you're kind of going through the project as to whether it was this or that. And it's just not here on the drawing. Now, having said that, you know, we can simply say approved at these heights or whatever. And just before you go to PRS, the next thing you're going to have to go do, I would just suggest you update your drawings to call this stuff out.
Absolutely. Yep.
So what I think I'm hearing is you're going to move Ramat. You're going to add a gate. You're going to build a wall on the north side that's 6 feet. On the kind of west side, you're going to have that wall be something, 2 feet, 3 feet, whatever matches the porch as drawn. You're going to demo the existing shed that's there and build the ADU per the drawings that you have.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else have any on the board have any questions or concerns?
Is there anything we need to approve as far as setbacks?
It's a reduced setback.
Oh, there are some? Okay, I did not see that.
Well, yeah, ADUs. This might be
Technically, that's the second street, so it should be 10 feet on the beam, maybe.
So if we just include a reduced setback.
We need, you want us to approve the setback, is what Greg is bringing up.
Yes, please. Yeah.
All right. Is anyone brave enough to kind of pull that together into the motion?
Go, Dean, go.
Damon's like, no, I don't want to do it.
I can try, but I'm going to have to take some notes first.
Yeah, go ahead. Take a minute. So, guys, when you come to see us again, if you ever do, it's just we're trying to help you. Just help us with the specific, I'm asking for this. And it's not that we're trying to give you a hard time. It's like we want to be able to do what Dane's about to do, is give you something in writing that allows you to go forward with the city.
Absolutely. I'm embarrassed. We should have had this stuff on our drawings. And yeah.
I have a couple other things, I guess, that have come to my mind as I've started trying to write a motion. I think normally for clad windows, we would have asked for a little more detail on what the window models are. Does the board agree with that?
Yes. So I appreciate that you said wood clad. We normally would like to see a cut sheet.
The windows and the doors.
And the doors, yes. Right. Those are very important.
Is that something that's new? Because I've been submitting to historic districts for 35 years and I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, I was gonna say I don't do cut sheets either. I just call out wood clad when I do it.
Unfortunately, we've had some experiences where that's been a problem.
Yeah, I think our guidelines allow clad windows on a case-by-case basis. And so in the past, I think we've always asked for more detail when someone's proposing a clad window. I'll be honest and say we're trying, I think, to change that and broaden our approval broaden our guidelines to just blanket allow clad windows so that we don't have to go through that process. But I think, as Rick was alluding to, we have had problems in the past where we've had miscommunications on what it means to be a wood clad window.
I mean, I think the brand that we see on most of our job sites is Sierra Pacific, right?
We see Sierra Pacific, we see Marvin, we see Jill Wynn.
I think Pella has a wood clad also.
Yeah, Pella has a wood clad. They all do. Just whatever you're proposing is all I'm asking is that in the future, it makes it easier. And it's not because of you guys, but it would be nice if you have already decided by now, which I assume you would have, that it's going to be, you know, whatever, Pella or whomever, wood clad XYZ windows. It just is easier to say, yes, that's perfect. That's exactly what we had in mind.
Okay.
So do we want them to provide that information or?
I have to say, I don't really like that. I don't like having to call out specific brands. I think the clients should have the right to pick something if they, you know, go down the road and someone's going to take 52 weeks to get a window built. And that was the one you specified, and someone else is only going to take 32 weeks, which is definitely happening these days. I feel like it feels a little unfair to lock them into a brand.
And also, another thing is, I have to say, you guys, clad wood windows are clad wood windows. And you can, all the brands that we've just mentioned, if you say clad wood, then you're not talking composite, you're not talking aluminum, you're talking clad wood. They all have very similar thicknesses, very similar profiles.
Yeah, I almost never call out a brand myself. So I don't, I have been getting in arguments with the county right now about making me call out specific air conditioning units, because I think that it should be up to the client that it, if it meets what we specify, and if, you know, they should be able to pick whichever brand they want. So I don't think we should lock in a brand myself.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, let's just call the material as it is and leave the brand to the applicant or the owners to determine who they go with. When we start calling out specific brand, we're actually, by city rule of ethics, we cannot do that.
We could possibly use the language of or similar. You know, Geldwin, blah, 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 or similar. Or Sierra Pacific, blah, 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 or similar.
Don't think our intent is to lock into a brand,
but in the past, we've definitely asked for more detail on windows and doors specifically. And people have shown multiple options so that they have flexibility. And we're, again, we're not trying to support one brand or not another or whatever, but we've asked for more specificity. I think it's really driven by the case-by-case acceptance of those products.
Well, and fundamentally, we as the brand guidelines state, we want them to save the windows before replacing it full stop. So replacement windows. Now, obviously, in a new build, that's unlikely. But that, I believe, is why the restrictive language is in the guidelines.
Yeah, our guidelines say on a case-by-case basis, metal clad wood windows with appropriate trim and sash may be approved so long as they maintain the integrity and historic character of the individual property and the neighborhood. So, I mean, I'm not saying I think there's some big risk here. It's not that we don't trust you guys. I'm just saying.
I think we need to go with what Michael said. We should not be calling out a brand. I just don't think that that's our purview.
Again, I'm not.
If we want to see a cut sheet, I think we can ask for that down the road or something, but I don't think we should be calling out brands.
To be clear, I'm not demanding that applicants ask.
Sorry. I've been fighting.
But I'm saying that in the past, we have always asked for more detail, specifically for clad windows.
You haven't asked on my projects that have come through, and I have wood clad, and I don't call out a brand.
But did you show more detail for what the windows were, or did you get special treatment?
I wasn't presenting it, so you didn't even know it was me unless I wasn't at the meeting, so you knew it was my project. So, I mean, we call out wood clad. We have elevations and, you know, a window schedule just like anyone else should have.
You guys. We're okay with the language of like Sierra Pacific or similar, if that
really. No, please.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think it should be.
Please. Please.
Okay. So I'm
it's
hearing.
Just that, it's just that we staff, we do not recommend any architect or any designer to any person who comes to us. We don't. We're not allowed to do that.
So we'll have a discussion on another day, Michael, but I will say that while I understand that Woodclad has a commonly understood interpretation, we have another couple of properties that we are having problems with right now where they called out a specific, like, it's going to be this, and we're like, we're fine with that, and that isn't what they installed. And what they installed was completely non-compliant.
If the applicant comes to you and say, here is this type of manufacturer, this type of person I am going to use, that is okay. It is not okay for the bot to tell the applicant which manufacturer to use.
Oh, but I think what Damon was proposing, though, Michael, all due respect, was saying XYZ or equivalent.
Right, but that person, those people that are breaking the rules are going to break the rules regardless.
Well, so that's fair.
Whether
okay,
they show
fair,
us what
fair,
they're going
fair.
To show us.
Yeah.
And say we're going to install this and go and install something else. That is a it's like apples and oranges.
I don't think it's necessary.
Fundamentally, we're arguing that there's not enough detail in this package. So shouldn't mm-hmm. we just send it back?
Just say
give us
that. Just say yep. that and leave it like that, please.
Yeah.
I think that's not, yeah. Okay. So this is clearly a point of disagreement on interpretation for the board for the purposes of this.
The chair, if the board does not feel comfortable with what they have here and you want them to come back, you're
more. No. I think the board is comfortable with what we're seeing. I mean, the board can always disagree with me. We've just had some strange precedents that are making us a little bit more cautious. So, Damon, do you think you can do a motion?
I got a list, thanks to Greg, who sent me a message with a list of various things. But I think I'd like to talk through them. So just to make sure we got everything, we need to approve setbacks. Now, normally to approve setbacks, you guys would have shown prevailing setbacks in the development zone. You didn't do that, as far as I saw. So does the board feel comfortable that we have prevailing setbacks within the development zone to justify these setbacks? And if so, then we can do so.
I think it's fine.
I think it's fine. I think I personally can speak to, I'm familiar with this development zone and it's fine.
All right. There was the demo of the shed that we wanted them to be more specific about demolition. There is the porch wall with a cap that's not specified finish or height or material. There is the, I think it's 6 foot wall north of the new parking spots that's not specified as height and material and finish. And I think there's another wall as well.
I don't remember another wall.
The low wall to the south of the parking.
South or west?
Let me get my directions squared away. West. I'm sorry, west. Yeah, I'm south.
So I think the wall that's drawn there in red is to match the height of the porch wall.
Yeah, so I guess we just want that to be specified, but also I would think we want, you know, material and finish to be specified.
Correct. I think on both cases.
Okay, so man, this is too hard for me. Okay, walls, height, material, and finish. And there's three of them.
Bob, do you know the setback when we talk of setback, do you know specific numbers for that setback that you're requesting?
Yeah. We're requesting 5 feet on the west, 5 feet on the north, and 21 feet on the south. Yes.
No, because the existing building doesn't have 21 feet of setback.
Well, the new building shows up.
I'm talking about the new accessory dwelling unit.
Okay. Well, I think, okay. All right. I think that's not an exception. The exceptions are really the 5 foot ones on the west and the north. So, and the north one's easy because the existing.
But when you talk about 21, what is actually required that you are requesting 21 feet?
Right.
Oh, what's required on the south?
Yes.
What we're asking is, what are the exceptions? So, for example, on the north, you're going to put the ADU at the same setback as the existing building, existing contributing structure, correct?
Right. So, basically, they need this one and this one to be...
Yeah.
Modified, and they can use the existing house as their prevailing setback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So don't worry about the south. The south, you're fine.
Right. That doesn't need to be modified. It meets code.
And Damon, the two gates that are going to be added, the one to the west and the one to the north of the parking.
Thank you. All right, I think I'm ready to make a motion.
All right, I'm ready to write it down.
All right, we motion to approve as presented with the following detail to be added to the drawings. We'd like the shed to be noted as a demolition. There's three walls, one for the porch, one north of the parking, and one west of the parking. For each of those, we'd like height, material, and finish to be specified. And also there's a few gates in some of the new walls where we'd like more detail to be described in terms of material and design for the gates. So that's the drawing detail that we'd like. And then we'd also like to add that we approve of the setbacks as shown.
Stand by.
I'll second. Jim Glock.
Nope. Okay. Hold on. Still writing. Okay. Yeah. We have a motion and we have a second. Discussion?
Do we need to say anything about the Ramada being relocated?
I don't think we do. Do we?
It's a temporary structure, I would think. Yeah. You know, it's one of those Costco aluminum things. So, you know.
Yeah, I vote no.
Let's not complicate our lives with that. So. Costco aluminum.
Say that.
The difference between a Home Depot shed and a Costco.
Oh.
Yeah. Right. I think.
Yeah. We're not supposed to specify brands. That's right.
Not.
Yeah. Bad.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Lou, for adding a little sarcastic humor. Okay. So we have a motion. We have a second. We've had some discussion. All in favor, aye.
Jim Glock, aye.
Aye.
Aye, aye, aye. Lou, raise your hand. Awesome. 6-0. Perfect. All right. I know that was a little painful, but good discussion. Okay. So it's 8:22.
Thank you guys. Sorry.
No worries.
Yeah.
I'm going to say we're not going to talk about design guidelines tonight. We do need to do some formatting stuff, and I know I sent you the guys stuff, but let's not talk about that anymore. Michael, is there any staff updates that we need to know about?
I don't think I have a lot to tell you. It's just 717 North 7, which you don't like to hear, but they will be coming back to you. I'm going to PI on this.
Yeah, I don't want to hear about that.
Nor me.
Yeah.
I just have to let you know that.
Do we have a new HPO?
The new HPO is going to start on March 24th. 2-4.
Okay.
3-24.
So it'll be a surprise who it is.
I've just forgotten the name, but it's a lady. I think it's Desiree somebody.
Okay, that's fine. So yes, someone's named, and yes, you could say who it is, but you don't remember who it is. Okay. In March 24th, 3-24.
Mr. Chair.
Okay, easy peasy. So future agenda items.
So I'm pretty sure you are going to have a meeting in April, which would be April the 8th.
April the 8th, right. Anything specific? I mean, I know we have some minor reviews coming down the pike. What, Michael, I want to take a moment and just ask, with respect to future reviews, is it clear, it's not clear to me, how does one apply to do a courtesy review? I have had a number of folk in the neighborhood who are trying to do things, but they really want a courtesy review and they're not sure when they go to the portal how to do it.
Well, when you go to the portal, when you just once you click apply, there's a scroll down, and then you will see a place for pre-app. We're calling it a courtesy review, but on the portal, you will find it as a pre-app.
That you is may not know, but when you do pre-app, and I don't know, Rachel, if you've done a pre-app, it asks you for everything a full review asks you for.
Yeah, what happens is, pre-app goes through a different process. It goes through CDRC. If you want to go to the board, just tell the people to please specify that you want to go to the board. Because if you don't do that, the pre-app are typically a staff review.
Yeah, I've been having them send stuff back saying I need a full set of plans, and I'm telling them no.
Yeah, typically.
I'm gonna go through historic. Yeah.
This is actually what Rachel's saying is actually becoming a problem.
So, yeah, because it takes a really long time to get zoning comments for them to just be like, oh no, you can't do that. These aren't complete. And it's like, no, these are what we need for this.
So typically when you submit, you just let them know that you're just doing a pre-app. For a pre-app, you really don't need a full set of plans for historic purposes.
Well, I've submitted two sets of drawings in January.
Yeah, you just come in for general information and feedback before you actually get ready to submit.
So Michael,
I've had both happen though, because I just in January submit two sets of plans. Both needed to go through historic. One got kicked back to me saying there wasn't enough information to move forward. And I had that took a month for them to tell me that, for me to then go and have to put in, you know, more information and tell them again, no, we just want to get through to historic review before we do a full set of plans. And the other one got to go through historic. So it depends on who's looking at the application, who's taking it in. There's not any sort of consistency right now with the city, and it's really challenging.
It's causing a lot of customers, a lot of people who want to do the right thing and come back to us and just say, and they're being told, oh no, you got to go hire somebody and get drawings and all of a sudden, to Rachel's point, which is what we're trying to avoid, right? And before you go do a full blown dookie doo, is come do a courtesy review. I'm trying to do this, this, and this, and you know whatever you know that looks like in a casual way, before a lot of time and money and energy is invested, and it's very inconsistent. And I'm getting a lot of feedback. It sounds like Rachel, you're having a similar experience where
I've been submitting plans for years, and I'm now hitting them saying, "Oh no, you can't submit this like this," and it's like there's just not consistency with the city and the intake right now, and I don't know who or how we need to talk to help get that figured out.
I have been, like Michael, I've been advising folk who are trying to do things, and they call me and they say, well, I want to do this. What do you think? And I'm like, well, let's do a courtesy review. And they try, and what Rachel's describing is the experience they get. And it's like, well, what the heck? I got to actually hire an architect and get
well, and, then, and not only that, it takes months. It takes
and it takes and a ridiculous amount of time.
It's like absurd, whereas you used to be able to walk in with your set of plans or your site plan and say, I need historic review, and they could start that process, and they don't have that option anymore. And so I know, Michael, you can't really control this, but if you could like get feedback to the right person that could help alleviate this or let us know who we could reach out to, because it's really causing a lot of things that should take. I mean, that used to be you literally walked in, you talked to zoning, they wrote you the letter to go talk to historic. Now it takes 6 weeks minimum before you even get a comment from zoning. And the last one they gave me said, oh, no, we're not even going to look at this yet. Go back and do it again. So now that's going to be another 12 weeks before I even get comments to even start seeing historic. Sorry. That's very
no, I can Michael and I would like to say that this is a little, it's one of the several things that are contributing to a few folk in the neighborhood saying, the heck with it, I'm just going to do what I want to do, which is what we're trying to overcome, right? And I know you're aware of various and sundry little things where people are doing that sort of thing, but
yes, I have heard. I will take it up to the hierarchy and see what we can do. The yeah. way they design it is the CDRC, it's a different process. So when you're doing a pre-app, they look at it and they actually even charge for that. Whereas the courtesy review with historic, we do not charge for that. Okay, so I will talk to them and we'll be able yeah. to try to see how we can figure it out. But we encourage people when you're doing it, just specify that you just want historic to take a look at it first. Some of them have been like that. They will get us involved. Some
but something's happened where that's becoming hard to do.
Yeah, because it used to just be zoning would look at it and see that it's historic and know it was going to go there. But now I don't know if it's there's a lot of new staff, if there's people that don't
yeah,
know.
We have
but they just pull it up and they're like, oh, we don't have all the information. Go come back in like 6 weeks. And it's like,
yeah, it's
just hard.
The problem is, I think the problem that we're having is at the intake level.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of intake staff, some of them are actually not planners. So when it comes in, it's not like they are verifying the zoning or any of those things to be able to determine up top that this we need to go to historic. They're not. They're giving certain guidelines, look for this. Once they don't see that, they just take it out. You know, so, but we will continue to talk to them to see how we can begin to send the historic ones to come up to us for pre-app or for courtesy review without necessarily beating all this. Because in my mind, it doesn't make sense for somebody to get an architect to draw all the plans before you come for a courtesy review.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, and also it's not just historic review. It's design development options. There's all kinds of processes that you used to go to, walk in to the counter, talk to somebody at zoning, they would look at everything and then they would say, oh, you need to do XYZ. And
so what I would say though is if you know people and they have submitted and they're having those problems, let them call us, let them reach out to us. The point
that doesn't work.
Michael, one responds.
No one responds to emails or calls or anything. And then you're sent to like
it the goes
city.
Into the next 30 days.
I know that I do respond to my email. I can speak to myself. I know that
right.
I respond to my email.
I'm not talking about you, Michael. We're trying to tell people, here's the process. And if you're unsure of exactly what you want to do, we have this whole courtesy review thing, which I guess now we're talking about it being a pre-app.
That is why I'm saying to the board, I'm saying this to the board, we do have the PDSD history. If you get into that situation, send an email. You may not send it directly to me, but you send it to PDSD Historian. It will come to our section. When we look at it and see what problem the person is having, we typically respond to those emails and give guidance and help people out. For example, I have a situation where somebody is going to do a demolition of a contributing historic property and needs to go through the review process. Now they are asking for confirmation of demolition and all that kind of stuff. You know you have to go through the advisory board, go through PRS, go through mayor and council before you know even whether you can demolish the structure or not. So at this point, it is so premature for the person to actually submit that,
right,
that document from the word go. But they are holding up, they were holding up the application, waiting for that person to submit that confirmation of demolition. You are not even sure whether it will be approved by mayor and council. So it doesn't make sense to hold the application waiting for that document to be submitted, because they are not even sure whether they will demolish it or not. So what we have done, once that got to my attention as public supervisors, and what we have agreed to do is to let the applicant go through the review process. At the time, if mayor and council approves for the demolition, they cannot be issued a permit until they have that document. But that document should be waived.
All due respect, I think we're a little off topic because we're now pretty far down the line. I'm thinking that it's back to what you were saying earlier about we just need folk to be able to have a venue where they can come back to us and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. I could do this or I could do this. I don't want to hire an architect. I don't want to have drawings. I don't want to do all the stuff that's required by that checklist before I have a conversation and know what the art of the possible is. And they're getting shut down. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. I guess, you know, Rachel has more experience with the yeses and nos. I'm just hearing all the nos. And it's like, it's a little bit, unfortunately, encouraging some folk to say, the heck with it, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah, I understand that.
Michael, who would you recommend I reach out to? Because it's become detrimental in a lot of ways and projects just taking so long past what they should. And everyone's freaking out because the economy changes every 3 minutes. And
our supervisor, the person supervising our section is Daniel Bassett. So you can reach out to Dan directly and then he can talk to various people to see if they can change the process. That's the person I was going to talk to, but you can feel free to send him an email.
Nick something, Nick, because he doesn't respond to anything. I had to go to Elisa Hamblin last time and then it got approved like the next day, but it shouldn't have to happen like that.
Yeah, Elisa shouldn't even be part of the process.
Elisa is the zoning administrator, so this CRNDC thing that we're talking about, you can actually talk to her because it is under her section.
Yeah, I guess I'm just curious, like who, like in zoning and in intake, do we talk to? That's who, because I've reached out and tried to reach out a number of times to supervisors and all kinds
and
of.
The person in charge of zoning is Nick Ross.
Okay, so I'm gonna say that I wanted to bring this up, and Michael, this is a problem. I want to adjourn the meeting, right? Because we got a bunch of board members that are hanging on. It's 8:36, but it is a constant, chronic. Something's broken. It's got to get fixed, and we need your help. If it's nothing other than phone numbers, which, you know, is kind of what you're saying, but I'd like to just say that is a topic that I wanted on the record, and I'm going to put it you are, and we can move on. I really do want to let the board go because it is, you know, we've all been here kind of late tonight. Okay.
Yes.
So it is 8:37 PM and I would declare adjournment. Thank you all. I do appreciate it. This is an important topic. But we just can't keep talking until 9 o'clock. But we do need to resolve it. Okay?
I will carry your message.
Thank you,
Michael. Thank you. I appreciate
that. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, board.
Thank you, the board.
Thank you, Rick.
Thank
You know,
you.
you have the prerogative of, as the chair, to set the agenda. So if you want to put something on, like a standing agenda item for courtesy reviews, and invite folks to come on, I think you have the purview to do that.
I think Michael will tell you that I do not have the purview to set the agenda.
If the board decides that they want an item to be...
That is a true statement. So I think the issue around courtesy reviews, Michael, everyone on the board is welcome. We're off the record right now. So everyone on the board is staying. I appreciate it. This is a big deal, Michael. It's a big deal. And I know you know it's a big deal. I know you're not ignoring this. So it's probably a valid agenda item for a future meeting. If it's Lisa Hamlin or I don't know who it is we need to talk to that says, this is part of why things don't work. And
I can try to put it on the next agenda for the board discussion.
Please put it on. Just please put it on the next agenda. I think we have the
Quick
ability to.
If I have a project that's being presented, I only need to not be part of the meeting for that project, correct? So I could come back and be part of the meeting. Mm-hmm.
Participate right. when they're discussing that.
You only have to recuse yourself from stuff that you're associated with.
Okay.
Right. Yes. But I do think, Michael, this is a big deal, and it's becoming worse and worse, and it's starting to. And
I'll
unfortunately,
put it on the next agenda so that we can formally discuss it, and you people can, and then we go from there. And if we need to invite somebody from the city to come and talk to the board about this issue, we can.
Right. And I kind of defer to you as to who the right person is from the city.
Well, this is a permitted issue, so we can talk about it and get somebody from the permitting section to come talk to the board or give guidance as to what we can do.
I think it really needs to be somebody from whoever's overseeing intake and whoever's seeing zoning.
Is mainly for intake. It's really not.
Yeah, I agree, and it's taking a long time to get even.
It's actually the intake. It's an intake thing.
Yeah.
That's a whole different section, which is under permitting. So I can talk to them.
Okay. All right. Greg's leaving.
I'm leaving.
Jim's
Thanks,
leaving.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks for
all right.
Leaving,
thank
guys.
You, Michael. Thank you, everybody. Michael.